Are you ready? Are you ready? Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. In Jesus' mighty name. What is grace? As I checked my Strong's Concordance, I realized that the Hebrew word for grace is the word chen. 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 It signifies multifaceted concept stemming from favor, say favor, to mercy, to kindness, and beauty. And then it also means charm. By charm, I don't mean juju. You know when they say you have somebody has a charming beauty, just someone, something attractive. The Hebrew word for grace is often used to describe God's graciousness towards humanity and favor that one person might find in the eyes of another. And do you know that as I began to search the word, the first five, no, not first five, first 25. By the way, I've been told I have a few pastors in the house. I don't have the full details. I was just told in the car. So let's celebrate them. Let's celebrate the pastors in the house. Please, can they stand? Can they stand? Who are they? Please celebrate, Pastor. Who is Auntie? Is that the pastor from Ogun Province? God bless you, sir. Amen. The first 25 mentions of grace have something to do with sight or eyes. Sight or eyes. Interesting. Let's take a few. Let's take a few. You find that word grace mentioned in the context of sight or eyes. Sight or eyes. Multimedia, help me very quickly. Genesis 6 verse 8. By the way, did you hear the testimonies? One of the elders sent me a testimony, incredible testimony. She can't even share it. When we pray, God answers. There's grace in this house. See, there's grace in this house. Amen. God is answering prayers. God is changing lives. Did we hear the testimonies of the people who were transformed, you know, battling with masturbation? And in this church, we're not afraid of that. Mm-hmm. Those are the testimonies we like. I was this. I am this. Amen. Hope you people were excited by those testimonies. You heard the testimony of the lady that a curse was broken for eight years. Hallelujah. God is so good. He doesn't leave us without a witness. Let's read together. I want to go. But Noah what? Found grace in the eyes of God. Eyes of God. There's something about grace and favor and sight. Eyes. Sight. The next one, Genesis 19:19. Multimedia, help us run because of time. Help us run. Behold, now thy servant had what? Found grace in what? What is this thing about sight and favor and grace? Genesis 32 verse 5. Want to go. I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I have what? I may find grace in thy sight. Say, when they look at me, grace will speak. Favor will speak. Let me give you a few more. Genesis 33 verse 8. Oh, I know what they call grace. I know a little bit. Oh, my God. May you not go through life without God's grace. By God. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. Let me give you one more. Okay, three more. Genesis 33 verse 10. 25 of them. The first mention, 25, speaks about grace and sight. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if I have now found what? Grace in what? Genesis 33 verse 15. Genesis 33, verse 15. And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. And he said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. Genesis 33, 15. Genesis 33, 15. Okay, 18 now. Sorry. 34, 11. Genesis 34, 11. And then I'll give you 39, verse 4. 34, 11. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me do what? Find grace in your eyes. And what ye shall say unto me, I will give. Finally, Genesis 39, verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Have you met people before that you didn't even talk to them? They didn't see anything. You just saw them and liked them. See, that's grace. Have you also met people before you just saw them? They didn't do anything. They didn't see anything. But you just don't. You're not connected to them. You see the ironic blessing in Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make what? His face, his paim, to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. See, I'm clothed with grace. There's something about the appearance. The Bible says he surrounds you with what? Favor, with grace, as a shield, a covering. I'm just giving a preamble. So there's something about favor and sight. Grace means favor. Grace means acceptance. Chen implies a state of being favored or accepted. The Bible says that we have been accepted in the beloved. See, I've been accepted in the beloved. By the way, help me thank these elders. They took me into a room. They contributed some money and they gave me some heavy money. Can you celebrate them? Celebrate our daddies and mommies. Honor them for me. They said, Pastor, you are a blessing to us. And when they were giving it, I wanted to kneel down. They said, no, don't kneel down. We want to kneel down. I said, for where? Celebrate them. You will live long. Your children will enjoy grace. Your children will enjoy favor. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. And they prayed for me. Hallelujah. There's grace in this house. You know, we always say that we're a youth church, but now. Grace, that chain, means mercy and kindness. Say mercy and kindness. It can also represent compassion, gentleness, and a willingness to show understanding and forgiveness. Hallelujah. It also means truth, mercy, and truth. In essence, chen, the Hebrew word for grace, embodies the concept of unmerited favor, kindness, and acceptance used to describe God's relationship with humanity. Amen. You remember, in Exodus 34, 6 to 7, the story where Moses cried out to God, show me your glory. Remember, when the essence of the glory of God was being manifest, it was made manifest as the following. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord, what? Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and unto the third and fourth generation. Somebody shout grace.
Grace.
We know that God's major or supreme act of grace was wrath through the gift of our dear Lord Jesus. He demonstrated his love, his grace, through our salvation, our redemption. And Jesus Christ, to us, is the embodiment. Say it's the embodiment. Is the totality of the expression of God's grace. Amen. That's why he said in John 1:14 to 16. John, not Joshua. And the Word was made flesh. Who is the Word? He was made flesh. In other words, he was made manifest physically. That's what it means to be made flesh. He dwelt among us, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, the Bible says, God with us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. What? Full of what? Grace and truth. So Jesus, say Jesus Christ, is the expression of God's grace. Shout it loud. Say Jesus Christ is the full expression of God's grace. Amen. He's the revelation of God's grace. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 8 that it is by grace that we are saved. Through faith, and that not ourselves. It is the gift of God. Say the saving grace. Now let me give you the New Testament meaning of grace also. Very similar. Is the word charis. You heard the word charis. Some people say charis. It's charis. Say charis. From where you have charisma. It means graciousness. It means to gratify. It also means a divine influence upon the heart. Say divine influence upon the heart. Grace is God's divine influence upon the heart. And it's reflection in life. Say reflection in life. So it impacts upon your heart. You know, it's a divine influence upon the heart that plays out, that manifests in your life. There are people you see, you know that this person is a man or woman of grace. Their touch is a touch of grace. Their life is a life of grace. Even their dressing speaks to grace. Their handwork speaks of grace. What they do, their achievement, points to grace. There's something that is just different. There's something that is almost, and I say almost effortless. Amen. Say, I'm that person. Say, I am that person. Some say grace. Okay, no, not some. The same concordance. Remember, it's the divine influence upon the earth and its reflection in life. That word carries there is also used as the word gratitude. Say gratitude. Say gratitude. There is a strong connection between grace and gratitude. There is. In fact, one of the ways that we unleash and trigger grace is gratitude. There is a strong connection between grace and gratitude. Every time we give thanks, we release grace. So whenever Jesus lifted those bread and said, Father, I thank you, he was releasing grace for multiplication. He stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, Father, I thank you because you've heard me. He released the resurrection anointing. There's something about grace and gratitude. I watched a video by Bishop Oyedepo sometime in the week. I don't know if you can get it for me. It's on his page. And also, I think Praise World put it up. I was going to share it. Where he said he went to Abba for a crusade. And he went there and it was, in quote, a failure. The people who they paid to bring instrument, at, you know, changed their mind a few hours to the event. And he went to the hall and he said he knew that if he complained, that was the last time they would have a crusade in that place. He gathered the people. He preached his life and went back to the hotel and gave thanks. Something about thanksgiving and grace. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. So it means gratitude. It also means to be accepted, acceptability. It means benefit. It means gifts. It means generosity. It means liberality. It means pleasure. Many call grace undeserved favor, unmerited favor. God's benevolence. Say God's benevolence. Grace is God's goodwill and kindness. Many times towards the unworthy and undeserving. Grace is God's benevolence, God's kindness towards the unworthy and undeserving. We were once enemies of God. Romans 5 verse 10. Romans 5 verse 10. Romans 5 verse 10. Romans 5 verse 10. Somebody shout grace. Grace. For if we, when we were what? Enemies, were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more by being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. That was grace. Say grace. That was grace. Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometimes alienated or separated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now had he reconciled. Remember Bibo's testimony? Remember that testimony? He was a drunk, was a masturbator, he was a smoker. It was all of that. And 5 or so years ago, grace stepped in. Say, grace stepped in. And you look at him, and when he says, I used to do all of that, you don't believe it. Because grace beautifies. Grace changes the story. Yes. Somebody say, grace. Say, grace. Amazing grace. How sweet this is. Oh, that's grace. There are people here who were Muslims. I remember Dakore's testimony. She was a Muslim. Grace found her. Grace found her. There are people seated here who were once on the streets. We have them here. Prostitutes. Grace found them. They are in this church now. We take care of them. God sent us there, and then we, by his hand, pull them out of that pit. There are people here who were liars, were conk liars. Were thieves. Grace turned a terrorist in Paul and made him an evangelist. Every now and then, our Father in the Lord, Pastor Debo, would tell you that he was a womanizer. And you can't believe it. You're like, no, daddy, you are joking. Because there's such glory that you can't put the two together. Grace changes story. Can I prophesy to somebody here? Grace is about to change your story. I say grace is about to locate you now. Thank you. What is grace? Grace is divine advantage. Keep playing. It's divine advantage. Oh, real fashion. Do you know the price of that grace? That it was God that hung on that tree in the form of his son. I was telling them at the group yesterday, the parallel of the brazen serpent. You know, when the children of Israel were bit by a snake, and he told them to make what? A brazen serpent. And that while they looked on the brazen serpent, they will be healed. That was a type of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, snake. Oh, yes, because a serpent is cursed. A serpent represents sin, deceit. So when Jesus hung there, Jesus took upon himself the body of sin. Not just took upon himself, he became sin. That's why the Father, who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, could not look. It wasn't the nails that killed Jesus. It wasn't those ones that made him cry. It was the koinonia that was broken, that was severed. Eh? That koinonia with the Father, he said, Eli, Eli. Cried out to his Father, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father turned his eye because the Father keeps his word. He denied his own son for a moment because of sin. Because of you and I. Somebody say grace. Grace. So that if you and I look and live, my brother live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in his word. Hallelujah. By God. It is so. Sing it one more time. There is an anointing in the house. Oh, look and live. Look and live. Oh, my brother, live. My God. I feel his grace in the house. My faith has found a resting place, nor in device, nor creed. I believe in one. Oh, his wounds for me. By God. Open your mouth. My God, there's glory in the house. I need no one. My God, my God, my God. It is enough. My God, that Jesus, hey, that he died. I need no other. My God, his grace is in the house. Sing it. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All on the ground is sinking sand. Oh, oh. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but oh, je que bella sang. Open your
be seated. That's grace. That's grace.
Let me show you the three dimensions you know already. There's such a spirit of grace in the house. Zechariah 12 verse 10 talks about the spirit of grace and supplication. The spirit of grace. I'll show you some things. Because there is a way grace people live. Remember, grace is undeserved benefit, kindness, goodness. We know this already from our confession, but let me just share it. Grace is expressed in three major ways. You see that word grace? In three major ways. Number one, grace as divine endearment. Say divine endearment. For those who don't know what that means, this is grace as unmerited favor. In other words, you did nothing to deserve it. Who am I to sing your praises? Who am I to worship you? It's your blood that makes the difference in me. And may the way to into your throne. I could not come near your presence. I could never sing yours. What the sacrifice. What the sacrifice. Is the only reason. Is the reason. Oh, Shaiken.
I was telling them at the word group yesterday that, you see, it's not just enough to tell people what they are saved to. Say what they are saved to. In other words, you are saved to eternal life. You are saved to all spiritual blessings in every places. You are saved to light. But it's also important to let people know what they are saved from. What they are saved from. Do you know what it means to be eternally separated from God? Eternal damnation. I was telling them yesterday, after you have lived a billion years in hell, you start counting. It is a definition of hopelessness. You see, when people say, well, I'm going through hell, I say, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying. Hell? No. Hell means you are there for everlasting. Not just the fire, not just the sulfur, not just the worms, but that you are cut out from God. That's the definition of hopelessness. But Jesus came. Now, where's people come? Let me use you to preach. Let's preach together. I'm sure he had people. They smoked together. They drank together. They womanized together. They did all of that stuff together. The reality of it is some of those people may not go through life knowing Jesus. Hope you know that not everybody will be saved. Not everybody. It's a stark reality. You know the people you lived in Egypt with, who are no more, who died without Christ. Every now and then, I say to myself, so why did you save me? What did you save me? Why him? Why would you just decide to choose this one and say, you, lay hold on you. I'll transform you. I will change you.
The one that even the mom, when the mom saw it, they said, be born again. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. That grace is called divine endearment still. He has nothing to do with it. He didn't pray for it. He just stood there one day, the comforter who convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, came to him, began to woo him. And in a twinkling of an eye, the one who was headed to hell. See, I don't think the church knows the severity of eternal damnation. Knowing the terror of God will persuade men. When you see people who are passionate for soul winning, they know what it is to die in this life without Christ. If you know it, you won't envy the unbeliever. I've told you the story of one music minister who said to me one day, I think one of these guys, you know, I won't mention their name, they were driving a jet, and then he said to me, Pastor Nat, look at these secular people. They are living life. They are enjoying, you know. See, and we are here in church. Listen, I wept in my heart for him. Now life is car. Is jet. Do you know what they call eternal life? The God kind of life. If only in this life we have hope. We have all men most miserable. Do you know the price of your salvation? To know God. That the Holy Ghost dwells in you. That God lives in you. Somebody say grace. Grace. That grace that randomly picked him amongst the pack. It's called grace as endearment. See, as endearment. This is the grace that brought salvation. Titus 2:11. The Bible talks about the grace that brought what? Salvation. We did nothing to earn it. Ephesians 2:8. Why is this thing not working? Please be quick. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's not of yourself. You had nothing to do with it. It is the gift of God. Say the gift of God. What is a gift? Free. Say free. But have you heard? Grace is what? God's what? Riches at Christ's expense. It's free for you, but somebody paid a price. It's free for you. So, God just decided, if you are here this morning and you are saved, you are blessed. If you are here this morning and you are not saved, you are also blessed, because that thing that brought you here is called grace. Titus 2:11, the grace that brought what? Salvation. Because many times we confuse this, you know, people take grace as endearment and confuse it with the grace that empowers. And sometimes you hear people saying, well, God has done everything. I don't have, you know, it doesn't matter what I do. Who told you that? It means you don't understand grace. Hallelujah. John 15 verse 16. Say grace as endearment. That is preferential treatment. That is favor. That's me coming here and looking at this crowd here and just choosing somebody and blessing them with money. Not because they did anything. Not because they dressed well. But I just decided. See, I just decided. Ye have not what? Chosen me. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. Say, God has chosen me. Say, I am chosen. Say, I am chosen. Say, I am chosen. Another scripture, Ephesians 1:4-6. Quickly, Ephesians 1:4-6. Somebody shout grace. According as he had what? Chosen us. Say, chosen us. Yes. If you are born again, you are chosen. Say, I'm chosen. So that word chosen is correct. It's not a joke. That people drag our dear church. Say, I'm chosen. Shout, say, I'm chosen. Say, I am a chosen. Is this the Bible? It's the Bible. Hallelujah. According as he has what? Chosen us in him before what? The foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. One more time. Say, I'm chosen. So this is the grace that chooses you. You didn't do anything. You're saved. Hallelujah. Number two, grace as divine endowment. See, as divine endowment. So we see in scriptures, especially the New Testament, grace as endowment. This expression of grace speaks of gifts and giftings, divinely giving to us. Amen. Say, divine endowment. Let's go to Ephesians. Say, I'm chosen again. So the next time you see, don't just laugh. Let's go to Ephesians. No. Let me get my scripture. Ephesians 4, from verse 7. So this speaks of giftings, talents, abilities. So, for example, you say, oh, Sister Cheese is so graced in writing. You see, that's not talking about endearment now. It's talking about ability. Amen. Oh, Pastor Nat is so graced in singing. Oh, Pastor Uche is so graced in teaching. Put your name there. What are you graced in? Some people are graced in gossiping. Hallelujah. Let's read together Ephesians 4 from verse 7. But unto every one of us is given what? Grace. Now, this grace is not that one that saved you. That grace here is giving what? Ability, treasures, talents, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave what? Gifts to men. Now that he has ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Let's read from verse 11. And he gave some what? Apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Amen. The gift of the Spirit also, and all other ministry gifts and talents also fall in this category. Amen. So you see, I'm graced in this area. That is different from grace as endearment. Do you understand the difference? So number one is what? Grace as what? Endearment. So he just endears himself to you. He just loves you. While you're yet sinner, he is sinner, he loves you. Then when he saves you, he gives you grace. We have this treasure, what? In what? Earthen vessel. Amen. The last one is grace as divine empowerment. Say, divine as grace as divine empowerment. Many times we celebrate the saving grace, but forget that not only does it bring salvation, it is manifest in causing transformation. Say, transformation. So he saved you. A good example is Titus 2:11. The same grace that brought what? Salvation. That is grace as endearment. Say, grace as endearment. Put that scripture up. So, that grace pulled people and saved him. Titus 2:11. Father, give those people grace upstairs. Grace to put scripture on time. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appear to all men. Then you see grace as empowerment. Go to 12. Go to 12 now. Teaching, that teaching is like empowering. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. So many times when you hear people say, well, God has done everything, it doesn't matter what I do, they are still talking about grace that brought salvation. No, that same grace is not a license for you to still misbehave. We do not frustrate the grace of God. So that grace is supposed to empower you. Say, empower you. To live. So you heard him say, he's in this house. And through the ministry of this house, the teaching gifts. Remember, Ephesians 4:11, it says, it's for the perfecting of what? The saints. Those graces are for perfecting. To teach. To transform. To help transform. Then he says, for years now, I walk past alcohol, not masturbated. That grace has empowered him to live. Say to live. Some people focus on, oh, grace has saved me. Grace has saved me. No, that grace is meant to teach you, to empower you. Because grace is the help of God. It's the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Do we understand? Do we understand? Paul, speaking in 1 Corinthians 15:10, says, I am what I am. By what? The grace. We'll come back to that scriptures as we close. So this grace is the hand of God. Is the finger of God. Is the help of God. When you say, Father, help me. Help me, O Lord. Help me. Help me. Strengthen me. What comes on you, the virtue that comes on you is called grace. The Bible says he will strengthen you with might by his spirit in the inner man. The virtue, that strength that comes, that unexplainable strength is the grace, is the empowering of God. Somebody say, help me. Shout it, say, help me, Lord. Say, help me, Lord. Now, when we are saved and when we pray in the spirit, you find us praying long in the spirit. We are assessing that empowerment. Say, empowerment. That's what we are doing. Rabahandi palika, rebesha karatali, ile pratala karaba. We are not praying for him to save us. He has already saved us. So some people who criticize people who pray don't understand. No. We are saved. We've been accepted already. But that grace is supposed to do what? Empower you. If not, you'll be this Christian who talks grace, 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 but you're living like the devil, living like the world, and your life is not drawing people. Because there is no fruit. Say, God forbid. Shout and say, God forbid. Finally. Say, developing a grace consciousness. I'm going to leave us with this. We must develop a grace consciousness. What do I mean by grace consciousness? 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. Paul speaking says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. That grace that empowers is the grace that helps you to be and do. Say to be and do. That's the dimension of grace that helps you to do and be and become. You become like Christ. You do great works. You achieve things. So Paul says, look, I am what I am. I do what I do. By what? There are people who are not who don't have this grace consciousness. Every time you ask them, how are you? Oh, I see that God has blessed you. Oh, you are doing well. Say, oh, well, you know, just a lot of work. No. Some people say, I'm a self-made man. Make your oxygen. Wake yourself up in the morning. Don't use his oxygen. Use your own oxygen. Self-made man. Paul says, I am what? By the grace of God. What is What does it mean to develop a grace consciousness? Write this down. Having an awareness and a conviction that you are what? Number one, saved by grace. It's saved by grace. Number two, you live by grace. And number three, that you will finish the race by grace. See, that's the grace consciousness. It's an awareness. It's a mentality. It's an established truth in your heart that, look, grace saved me. Grace is keeping me. Grace is sustaining me. And grace will help me to finish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you are saved by grace. I've given you the scripture already. That you live by grace. That you are kept by grace. That you are sustained by grace. That you will finish this race by grace. And do you know, this is evident in the way that you speak. See, in the way that you speak. When you find grace-conscious people, it shows in their word speech. Number two, it shows in their decisions. Because you see, when you are grace-conscious, it means you live by somebody else's strength. Somebody else's intelligence. So every time a grace-conscious person, before they take a step, Lord, what would you have me do? The grace-conscious does not depend on the ability. Every decision is checked. It's checked. You can't be grace-conscious, claiming to depend on grace, and everything you've done is what you want to do, regardless of what God wants. Because grace consciousness is to know that you are saved by grace, that you live by grace, and that you will finish by grace. Are we following? A grace conscious person is not entitled. The very concept of entitlement is a sense of deservedness, that I deserve it. And the character of grace is such that it was given. See, it was given. You did not earn it. So there's no entitlement. When you find people who always claim their rights and feel that they deserve everything, they don't understand grace. There is a holy fragility that comes with being grace conscious. You know it's not you. Once again, look at our Father in the Lord. He's accomplished more or less anything. But the Baba comes, and every now and then, he has not changed. Before he preaches, he kneels down. Because he's assessing grace. There are some of us, you've not even done anything. Before you know it, shoulder pad, die. The grace conscious is not entitled. The grace conscious person is a humble person. For God gives what? More grace. He resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. The grace conscious person is a grateful person. Oh, there's something about gratitude that oozes out of you. Colossians 2:7. Put that there. NLT. Colossians 2:7. Are you being blessed? Rooted and built up in him and established in faith. Let your roots grow down in him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. People who are rooted in God, in grace, who understand that they are saved and they are planted in God, they always overflow with thankfulness. Because if the one who did not what? Spare his son, but gave him what up? What? Freely. How would he not with him give you what? All things. So you are constantly overwhelmed by the thought that he saved you. If he doesn't do anything else. Say thank you, Jesus. The grace conscious person is a generous person. Is a generous person. The grace itself is an expression of generosity. You can't say you are a grace person and you are not generous. you are not giving. In love, in help, in kindness, in resources, in time. Somebody say grace. Say grace. Say grace. Say grace. I'm going to stop here for today. Next Sunday, we'll talk about how do we grow in this grace. Because you grow in grace, you can abound in grace. Grace can be multiplied. Grace can diminish. You find those things in the Bible. Great grace. Abounding in grace. Exceeding grace. Grace can be measured. How many of you want to grow in grace? You want your grace meter to just go overboard. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Begin to thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Thank Him for grace. Thank Him for grace. Your prayer is easy this morning. Say, Holy Spirit, help establish a grace consciousness. Remember, the grace conscious is not entitled. The grace conscious is humble. You are not bogus in your speech. Yes, 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 declare it. I had confirmation that this is a now a Rhema word. We're thanking God with the team last week in my office, just praying, and we're talking about grace. And as I prayed in the spirit, I heard a word, or then we get. And every now and then, God gives me words through names. I've never researched what the name means. And while I just put it on my app and we checked, guess what I saw? God's grace. God's grace. God's grace, or God's gift. God wants us to emphasize this word. Romans 3, 27, 28. Lift your hands as you receive a fresh dose of grace. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. See, there is no room for boasting. When you see people who brag about themselves, do you know who I am? I will finish you now. They don't understand. The unbelievers can say that, but there are some things that shouldn't be heard from our mouth. We're people of grace. Say, we're people of grace. Say, we are grace conscious people. Lift your hands and begin to pray in the spirit. Thank him for grace. Thank him for grace. Thank him for grace. Thank him. Open your mouth. Remember, thanksgiving multiplies grace. Rakabashada bagada balata. Yerebe kondo golashala. Thank him for grace. Thank him for those three dimensions of grace. Preferential treatment, grace endearment, grace as endowment, grace as empowerment. Say, Father, I thank you for these three dimensions of grace. Grace as favor, unmerited favor. Grace as talents, gifts. Special abilities you've given me. And thank you for grace as empowerment. Strength in my inner man. Help to become and to do. Thank you. I am what I am by the grace of the Lord. That is the statement of grace consciousness. Grace consciousness has a theme. It has a theme. It has a language. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. I am what I am by the grace of the Lord. Our sister here who had first class sharing here. She read the things she wrote. They gave her a hint by the Spirit. So who did the job? When you drive a car, you may be the ones driving, but you're not the one making it move. Take away the engine from that car. Press the throttle, you see whether it will go. Grace is the engine that propels your life. You may look to be in the driver's seat, but there's an engine. There's an engine. Say it's grace. Say it's grace. Shout it, say grace. Say I am grace made. Say I am grace made. Say I am grace made. Put your hands together. Now, I told you that if you are here today and you are saved, you are blessed. Now, if you are here and you are not saved, you are not born again, the God who brought you here has chosen you already. But please, don't make the mistake of rejecting him. He says, if you reject me before men, I'll do what? I object to you before my Father and the holy angels. So that you came into this place, whether in the overflow, both overflows, and you heard this word, is because you are chosen. You are chosen. To reject it will be the greatest disaster of your life. I'm telling you, there's no disaster that worse. This is the condemnation, because what? Light has come, but men have what? Love darkness. If you are here today, every eye closed, head bowed. That grace is calling you. That grace is calling you. You are not born again. Please don't reject Jesus. Wherever you are, wherever you are, very quickly, with boldness, all over this place, can you wave at me? Pastor Nathaniel, I want to receive that grace. Wave it, wave it, wave it, wave it. Let's clap as they wave. Now, if you are waving, take your Bibles, your belongings. Run here now. Run here. Run to that grace. Run, run, run. Take your Bibles now. Run immediately. Oh, it means God has chosen you. Don't waste time. Run, 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 run. Grace has located you. Grace has found you. Yes, come on. Can you clap as they come? Can you clap? That's right. That is grace. Grace has found you. Grace has located you. It means you are special. It means you are set apart. Oh, come, 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 wherever you are, come. Grace has located you. You have to respond to that grace. You have to respond to that grace.
Your grace has found me just as I am.
Pastor Nathaniel, grace is not for me. If you know what I've done, it's not for people like me. It's for people like you. There is no sin too deep that Jesus did not go deeper. He went to hell and the grave, took the keys. He paid the price. Why are you carrying what Jesus has carried? Anybody here? Anybody here as we pray? Imagine leaders come and lead these ones to Christ very well. Quickly, quickly, quickly rush. Anybody else? Don't live here without surrendering to this grace. This is the grace that brought salvation. Quickly, quickly. Quickly. You have to respond to that grace. Accept what he has already done. One more person. One to one. Quickly, quickly. I need one more person. The rest of us, can you stand? Lay your hands on your head. Say thank you, Jesus, for the grace that brought salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for grace as gifts and endowments. Thank you, Jesus, for grace as divine empowerment. I declare that all of these dimensions of grace will begin to find expression in and through me. Open your mouth and pray. This is the year of grace and glory. This is the year of grace and glory. Grace is divine advantage. You will learn next week how we rise by grace. How to occasion and trigger the workings of grace in your life. How grace can increase. How grace speaks. Grace is our advantage. All of the dimensions of the grace of God will work in your life. He is the God of all grace. Endearment, endowment, empowerment, all grace. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I declare this word over you that God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That you have all sufficiency in all things and you abound unto every good work. Give him a shout of praise and be seated.